Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Moed Katan Daf Chof Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 6 lines from the top of Daf Chof Gimel. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, the Nosei. A double underline is featured. It's one of our series markings, and it highlights Yitzia Midureges Shel Ho'ovel Mibesoi V'Shinui Mekoimoi. Yitzia, the departure of the mourner from his house in a stage fashion, several stages. That's Midureges, referring to different stages of his departure from the initial, we'll say, confinement to the house of mourning the first week, and as things unfold and things lighten up as time goes on. Now the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Ovel, the mourner, Shabbos Rishona. The word Shabbos is a reference to week. The first week, Shabbos Rishona Eino Yotzi Mipesach Beso. He doesn't leave the door of his house. He's confined to his house. Shnia Yotze Ve'eno Yoshev V'Mekoimoi Ve'eno Medaber. The second week, so he leaves his house, but he doesn't sit in his regular location in the shul, and he doesn't engage in conversation. Shlishis Yotze V'Mekoimoi Yoshev V'Mekoimoi Ve'eno Medaber. Third week, he returns to his regular seat, but remains non-conversational. Revius Arehu Kecholam, by the fourth week, he then is like everyone else. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says, Lo hutzruchu lomar Shabbos Rishonu leyotzi mipesach beso. It was unnecessary for us to be taught that the first week he doesn't leave his house. Sharei akol nichnosen lebeso nachamo. During the first week, everyone is coming to the mourner's house to console him. So it's obvious that during the first week he is at home. Ella, rather, everything is pushed up 1 week. Ella Shnia, second week, Eino Yotzei Mipesach Beis. According to Buda, he remains in his house the second week since the death. Shlishis Yotzei Mipesach Beis B'Mekomo, third week, he does leave but doesn't sit in his regular place. And Revius, the fourth week, Yoshev B'Mekomoi, the Eino Medaber. And the fifth week, Chamishis Arehu Kechol Adam. So you can see, according to Rabbi Yehuda, everything is pushed off, pushed ahead 1 week, but only by the fifth week he then returns to his normal state. Tanu Rabbanan, another Tanaic source. Again, glancing at the side, we have a Nosei and Mivneh, a topic heading combined with structural note. A dashed underline highlights Dinei Shloshim. And that means the rules of the 30-day mourning period. So you see a source here, and again you'll see that type of slash underline 5 lines from the bottom as well. The volcano shape, trapezoid shape, highlights the halachas that characterize the 30-day mourning period, involving nisuin, marriage, restraint from marriage. Gihutz has to do with we would say the pressing of clothing, the cleaning and pressing of clothing. The Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, kol shloishim yoim l'nisuin, all 30 days there is a restriction from getting married. So if someone is mourning, so that within 30 days he cannot marry. Mesa ishtoi, if one's wife died, Osur lisa isha acheres ad shiavru alav shloisha regolim. he is not to marry another woman until the passage of three holidays. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Regel Rishon V'Sheni Osir Shlishi Mutar. Rabbi Yehuda is more lenient in that only two holidays must pass by the third holiday. When we speak about the three holidays, we're referring to Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So when two of them pass, by that time he is then allowed to remarry. If he is a man whose wife died but has no children, if the man has no children, he is allowed to remarry immediately so as to engage in procreation. If a person's wife died leaving little children, young children, that on those grounds also he can remarry immediately, so as they will be cared for. An incident took place where the wife of Yosef HaKohen died. And he said to her sister, in other words, his sister-in-law, he said to her in the cemetery, go and take care of your nephews, the children of your sister. Even so, he didn't actually, we'll say, consummate the marriage with her, with his sister-in-law, until a long time. My Lizman Ruba, what do you mean by a long time? Amar Baba Liachar Shloishim Yom. He waited for the consummation of the marriage 30 days. However, it seems that he, by saying L'chi Uparnasi as Bnei Achoseich, he was actually, offering to marry her right there in the cemetery. The Tosfos points out the Omer Lachos Vesakvos Lav Davka. It doesn't mean literally in the cemetery. Shavel Kol Shiva Osir. The Ovel for the first 7 days would be prohibited in this. And there is a much longer discussion that Tosfos goes on with. However, for our purposes, it was just important to see that there is an opinion that the expression in the cemetery is not to be taken literally, but it does indicate nevertheless that if a person is in a situation where he has little children, so then the delay in marriage is waived. Tanu Rabbanan, Kol Shloshim Yom Legihutz. All 30 days, for the first 30 days, so there is a Gihutz restriction. Echad Kelim Chadoshim Ve'echad Kelim Yishonim. Whether you're dealing with new garments or old garments but have gone out or left the press. Rashi says they are like new garments, so that for the first 30 days a person is not to wear either new garments or freshly washed and pressed garments. Rebbe Omer lo osu elo kelim chadoshim bilvad. Rebbe is more lenient and says that the restriction is only with regard to brand new clothing. Rebbe Lozor, Rebbe Shimon Omer lo osu elo kelim chadoshim levonim bilvad. Rebbe Lozor is even more lenient in saying that the restriction applies only to new white clothing. Abaye nofik begardo de sarbalo. Rashi explains the gar de sarbel is malbush lovan meguas yoshan. It's a white garment that was freshly pressed, but it was not a new garment. So Abaye wore this within 30 days of a relative's death, ke Rebbe, based on Rebbe's teaching that the restriction of wearing clothing is limited to new clothing. Rova nofik. Rava went out wearing the following: b'chimutzta rumisa sunkiso chadeti. Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon. He wore it's a new article of clothing within 30 days. That's the chimutzta is a choluk. It's a type, an article of clothing. Rumisa coming from Rome, and it was red. Sunkiso is an important word here. It was red, and it was new. And based on what did Rava wear this type of clothing, this new red tunic, even though it was within 30 days of a death, Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, he was basing his practice, his behavior, on the opinion of Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon that said the restriction is limited to new white clothing. The Mishnah said, back on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, Mitnei Shomru Shabbos Oilu V'Eino Mafsekes. Shabbos is part of the week of Avelus. It counts toward the seven, and it does not stop the Avelus period. B'nei Yehuda, B'nei Glila, the residents of these two regions of the land of Israel, Yehuda and Galil, Hani Amri, Yesh Avelus B'Shabbos, we're at the top of Omid Beis. Some say there is Avelus on Shabbos, Vani Amri Ein Avelus B'Shabbos, and others say there is no Avelus observed on Shabbos. Before we continue, we have a note at the top under the Nosei heading, and we indicate that this lasts till Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. Machloikis Im Yesh O Ein Avelus B'Shabbos. We have a controversy concerning how we deal with Shabbos in the context of mourning. Continuing in the Gemara, Ma Domer Yesh Avelus B'Shabbos, he who says that there is Avelus on Shabbos, and we have to understand we're working off the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that Shabbos is Oilu V'Eino Mafsekes, that it counts toward the number of days of mourning, and it doesn't stop Avelus. So the opinion that said that there is Avelus on Shabbos, Dikotoni, it said in the Mishnah, Oila. Oila means it counts toward the 7 days, the seven initial days of the mourning period. So it counts toward it, indicating that there are practices of Avelus that would take place on Shabbos. And when we speak about Avelus practices, bear in mind that standard first week mourning involves no washing, no shoe wearing, and other restrictions. So he who says that there is Avelus on Shabbos, that he is learned or derived from the fact that the Mishnah used the word Oila. Now, what we've done marking-wise, we have a bracketed section. On the side, we have a note. Matras Sograyim, Eino L'Shem Dilu. These brackets are not for skipping purposes. So that we're going to just continue reading on in the Gemara within the brackets. However, Elo Mishum Shagemara Achrei Shimatseges Shtei Adeus. After the Gemara presents the two opinions, he mityacheses b'diyun koydin l'deya hashnia. The Gemara then will relate first to the second opinion, Kolel Hasheila Ha Katoni, and as well regarding the question about what does he do with the fact that the Mishnah says otherwise. Rotzinu Laharois Derech Hasograim Sheaitiachasut Ladeo Rishonim Ofiel Kamon. What we want to do with these brackets is to show that the Gemara relates to the first opinion afterwards. And it was the order of the Gemara such that we present the basis of the opinion that says Yesh Avelus B'Shabbos, and then the Gemara deals with the second opinion that says Ein Avelus B'Shabbos, then raises a question concerning that second opinion, and then after the brackets we'll return in raising a question concerning the first opinion. So that's what we are trying to demonstrate with the brackets, to show that outside the brackets, the Gemara will be focusing on the first opinion. That having been said, we continue straight through the Gemara. After saying that the opinion that says that there is Avelus practiced on Shabbos, that's based on the Mishnah's use of the word Oila, that it counts toward, Shabbos counts toward the 7 days. Man diomer ein Avelus b'Shabbos. He who says that there is no Avelus on Shabbos, dikotoni, because the Mishnah said, Eino Mafsekes. Shabbos doesn't cancel Avelus. Doesn't stop Avelus, as we saw in the case of Yom Tov, that does stop Avelus. So now, what's the secret behind this expression, Eino Mafsek, is according to this opinion, if you were to think that the Avelus practices, that mourners' practices, the practice of the customs of mourning are practiced on Shabbos, that Shabbos is like a regular mourning day, Ashto Avelus Noga Avsuki Mibayo. Once we would establish that Avelus practices are done on Shabbos, of course Shabbos is not going to stop Avelus. I wouldn't need to tell you that Shabbos does not stop Avelus. So from the fact that the Mishnah went out of its way to say that Shabbos doesn't stop Avelus, that signals to us that Shabbos, though it doesn't stop Avelus, but it's not a day on which the practices of Avelus are done. The Gemara asks, okay, you're telling me now, this opinion says that there is no Avelus b'Shabbos, fella, ha katani oila, but it says oila, that Shabbos counts toward the 7 days, it's one of the 7 days. So the Gemara answers, that word appears, but not to tell me that you practice Avelus on Shabbos. Aidi de kaboy l'misna seifa, since it the seifa, the continuation of the Mishnah, had to teach regarding holidays, a non-oilin, that holidays don't count toward the Avelus. So because of that, when it spoke in the Reisha about Shabbos, Tana Reisha, Oila. In contrast, Shabbos does count toward the seven. But once again, not indicating that we actually practice Avelus on Shabbos. Now we go back to the first opinion. Ulaman Yomer Yesh Avelus B'Shabbos Ha Katoni Eino Mafsekes. According to the opinion that says that we do practice Avelus on Shabbos, why does the Mishnah have to bother telling me that Shabbos doesn't cancel the continuation? That's obvious. So the Gemara answer is again a structural consideration. Mishum de kaboy le misna seifa, because the Mishnah had an agenda. It wanted to teach in the seifa regarding holidays mafsikin, that the holidays block, they stop the continuation of the Avelus practice. Tono reisha, regarding Shabbos, in contrast, the expression eino mafsekes was used. But, according to this opinion, it's not to suggest that we don't practice Avelus on Shabbos. We will. And again, the expression eino mafsekes in the ratio by Shabbos is only because the Seifa had to, in contrast to the Seifa, which spoke about holidays, where it was necessary to teach that holidays are mafsik, they do block Avelus. Lema ketanoi. Here we have a long question where the suggestion is that the controversy between the B'nai Yehuda and the B'nai Goliel as to whether or not there is Avelus on Shabbos is actually an earlier Machlokes Tanoim. So can we set this up as a Machlokes Tanoim? The suggestion is not going to be so obvious as we go through the Tanaic source and the following Gemara, but after we explain things, hopefully we'll be able to highlight the suggestion. This is a question. Can we say that the issue of is there Avelus on Shabbos or not is actually a machloikis tanoim? So the Gemara asks, Lemo kitanoi, can we say it is a Tanaic controversy? Misha meso muto lefonov, this is a Tanaic source you find in the third parak of Maseches Brochus, which describes someone who has a corpse lying in front of him. Technically, meso would mean a relative of his relative, but there's much more discussion on that topic, on that translation. But suffice it to say, there is someone here that for our purposes, we're talking about Avelus. Avelus would indicate something to do with the passing of a relative. And here the relative is lying in front of him, expired, a corpse. So you don't eat right in front of a body. You eat in another house. Sometimes you find that the word bayis can also mean another room, especially if you think about one room domiciles. So the halacha is insisting that you don't eat right there in front of the corpse. Eat in another house. Ein lo bayis acher, if he doesn't own another house. Oichel bebeis chavero, so go to your friend's house to eat there. Ein lo beis chavero, if he doesn't have that option, oise loy mechitza sor tvochem, then set up a partition of 10 tvochem in height between you and the corpse. Ein lo dover lasis mechitza, if you don't have material through which to make this partition, machsir ponov v'yochel, turn away and eat. V'eino meis v'yochel, don't eat in a reclining fashion. Reclining is a characteristic of someone who is in a good state of affairs, but rather in this situation he shouldn't recline and eat. V'eino ochel basar v'eino shesayayin, being that there is a corpse in his presence, he's not to eat meat nor drink wine. V'ein mevorech v'ein mezamein, and there is the halacha takes into consideration, because he is preoccupied and his job is to tend to the corpse, so we release him from other mitzvah obligations, so he doesn't have to make a brocha and he doesn't participate in a zimun, vein mevorchen olav, vein mezamnen olav, and he doesn't lead a the final benediction, the brichas hamazon, nor does he is he to join with others that are eating as a group and benching as a group. Benching means reciting the grace after meals, the Birchas HaMazon, as a group. So this person does not participate in that. Upoter mikriya shema minatfilin. He's exempt from reciting kriya shema, from davening, from praying the Shemona Esrei. Minatfilin, he's exempt from wearing tefillin. Mikol mitzvos hamuspatar, from all other mitzvos that are in the Torah. Once again, this is a person who is designated to tend to the corpse. And in that context, we exempt him from all other mitzvah performance. Ubishabbos, now Shabbos is a day where he can't bury the corpse. So on Shabbos, meis v'yochel, v'yochel bosu v'shosu yayin, so he's able to eat, he reclines and eats, he's allowed to eat meat, drink wine, umavorech, umazamein, he makes brochas, he leads in the brichas hamazon, umavorechin, umazamein olav, he can be part of a zimun, part of a brocha recitation, v'chayev b'kriyas shema u'betfilah, he is obligated in the kriyas shema and prayer, u'bechol mitzvos umus b'torah, and all other mitzvos as well. Rabban Gamliel Omer, mitoch shenischayev be'elu, nischayev be'kulan. Since he is obligated in the mitzvahs we mentioned already, kriya shema and tefillah, he is obligated in all mitzvahs. Now, on the surface, this seems to be the same thing as what the Tanakhama said, with the opinion just before Rabban Gamliel said. He said the same thing. The Omer of Yochanan, tashmish hamito iko binah, Rabbi Yochanan points out that there is a point of difference between them, and that is, can one on Shabbos, who is a mourner, can he engage in intimacy on Shabbos? The Tanakhama prohibits, and Rabban Gamliel allows. My lav behol kumiflugi. Is it not so that the point of difference is as follows? The more sovar, the Tanakhama who restricts intimacy on Shabbos for the mourner, yesh avelus b'Shabbos, because there is avelus that takes place on Shabbos. The practice of avelus is done on Shabbos, and that halacha would manifest itself in the prohibition of intimacy. Umor sovar, Rabban Gamliel says, who says that one, the mourner is entitled to engage in intimacy, ein avelus b'Shabbos. So that would indicate that Rabban Gamliel is of the opinion that there is no avelus in Shabbos, and this brings us to the end of the question. So have we not then demonstrated that the issue of is there or is there not avelus in Shabbos is actually a Tanaic controversy? The Gemara rejects this analysis. Mimai, who says that that is the case? Dilma ad kan lo kamar Tanakama hasam. It could be that up till this point, the Tanakama reflected a stringency there. Elo mishum de mesoi mutal lefonov. Because of the unusual circumstances of a body lying in front of him. Because of that extenuating circumstance, the Tanakama was restrictive. Aval hocha, but here in a general question is there avelus on Shabbos? The ein meso mutalafanov. Once again, aval hocha, the ein meso mutalafanov. No, the Tanakama would not be restrictive. The ad kan lo komer Rav Gamliel hasam, and there in the source we saw Rav Gamliel exhibited leniency. Da'akati lo chal avelus alei. In that case, where the body hasn't been buried yet, so the rules of mourning haven't kicked in yet. We have mentioned this in the past that the rules of mourning start only after the burial. Aval hocha, but here regarding the question of is there avelus on Shabbos, the chal avelus olei, where he already started practicing avelus and then Shabbos arrived within that week, hochi nami. It could very well be, according to Rabbi Gamliel, that there are rules of avelus that are to be observed on Shabbos. So it's from the attempt to set up the issue of Yesh Avelus or Shabbos or not as a machlokes between the Tanakama and Gamliel, we show how that setup is not absolute, it's not convincing, and that we can argue to the contrary with regard to each one of the opinions. So to say with certainty that it is a machlokes Tanoim, that is not the case. We continue at the top of Chof Dalet Omer Aleph, Bo Mine Rabbi Yochanan Mishmuel. Rabbi Yochanan asks, Yesh Avelus B'Shabbos O Ein Avelus B'Shabbos? Omar Le, Shmuel answers, Ein Avelus B'Shabbos. Yasvi Rabbonan Kamedi Rav Popo V'Kamri Mishmei D'Shmuel. The Rabbonan were sitting in front of Rav Popo and they said in the name of Shmuel, Ovel Sheshimesh Mitosu Bime Evlo, a mourner who violated the rules of mourning and engaged in intimacy during his Avelus period, during the first week of Avelus, when intimacy is forbidden, Chayav Misa. He deserves death. So that's what the Rabbonan, who were seated in the presence of Rav Popo, claimed. 2 points. First, that two aspects here. They cited Shmuel, that's 1 point. Shmuel saying, Chayev Misa. Omar Le Rav Popo. Rav Popo reacts. And you'll note that there is a long marking, that's a long response of Rav Popo. Omar Luhu Rav Popo. Rav Popo says to those Rabbonan, Osir itmar, first of all, not chayav misa, but rather the word osir was used. Umishmei de Rabbi Yochanan itmar, and in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the comment was made, and not in the name of Shmuel. Ve'i shmiel lechu mishmei de Shmuel, if you heard anything in the name of Shmuel, hochi shmiel lechu. It's as follows. This is what you must have heard. Omrav tachlifa bar avimi omar Shmuel. Ovel shelo pora v'shelo pi reim chayav misa. So here you see the chayav misa expression associated with Shmuel. That's regarding an ovel that does not leave his hair growing. You notice he takes a haircut, and he who did not tear his clothing. Such an ovel is described as chayav misa shenemar, and the basis of this is a posuk. Roshechem, the Pesuk addresses the sons of Aaron when their brothers died upon the death of Nadav and Avihu. So Elozer and Isamar, the sons of Aaron who remained, the Torah says, Roshechem al tifro, uvigdechem lo sifro velo samuso. And this, through our reading, you understand that there's a certain inference that must be made. They were mourners, but they were exceptions. So their hair is not to grow, and their clothing are not to be rent. However, someone else who doesn't abide by those halachas, someone else who does not allow his hair to grow, someone else who does not rend his garments, they would be chayav misa. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.